It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Came into your life and then all of a sudden disappeared. Well, don't worry, because before you know it, it will come again. September 5th at 4:30 p.m. on Evan and Tiki. Presented by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram.
I really hope that all the men and women out there that love football as much as Sean and I hope you spent every waking second with your family yesterday and gave your wife or husband the proper 2 weeks' notice. Because it's on. We are that close to real football, not the fake Fugazi football that has people waxing poetic about Zach Wilson. The real, real thing. There is only one more Sunday left without NFL football before it's back.
Oh, my wife already got a taste.
Yeah.
Stiff-armed her Saturday night to watch SMU and Nevada till midnight. Can I get the over?
You're funny. Now, on Saturday, the Yankees had Old Timers Day. And we'll get to the Mets coming up in a little bit, and we will get back to your phone calls as well, 888-808-1019. The Yankees had Old Timers Day, and I have a few observations for you. Number one, nobody seemed to care because nobody was there. I'm watching the game, and the entire swath of the upper deck is completely empty.
It's not new. It's disappointing. It's perhaps the most disappointing thing about being a Yankee fan is over the last 15 years, I'd say, how little people stopped caring about the old timers.
And I thought that they would reach out to young people because this year they were making a special honoring of the 15-year anniversary of the 09 title, which everyone remembers unless you're, you know, in your teens right now.
Yeah, and look, when they played the games, I loved going to Old Timers Day. It wasn't a yearly tradition, but as many times as I could go, I've gone to countless, okay? And it became very noticeable. I think as I really became an adult and I stopped like going with like my dad would take me, nobody shows up in there. Everybody's outside, mainly the new stadium. Billy, Stans, Hard Rock, they're all having their pregame beers and they come in for the real game. And I don't understand that. If you have tickets to Old Timers Day, go in for Old Timers Day. So this was nothing new this year and I'm not shocked.
Yeah, it's just, it's kind of like, I get now why they don't want to have a game. Yeah. No one's going to be there to watch it. So I'm watching Old Timers Day. I'm watching the entire ceremony. And the thing I was most intrigued about was how they were going to treat Alex Rodriguez. This was Alex Rodriguez's first Old Timers Day. They were specially honoring the 2009 team, which Alex Rodriguez was their best player. Mm-hmm. He was their most valuable player. No slight on Mark Teixeira or CC Sabathia and everything they accomplished, along with Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, all those guys. Hideki. I mean, obviously, there were a lot of important players, but we all know how amazing A-Rod was during that postseason. So I was really curious what kind of treatment he would get in terms of where he's announced. Because to me, that tells you what an organization thinks of a player. If you get announced last, you're the guy. And I think in the Yankee case, the guy's Derek Jeter. I don't think anybody would argue that. Derek Jeter is going to get that treatment. Back in the day, I think my dad used to tell me, there was always that controversy on DiMaggio versus Mantle, who gets announced last. Because it really is the highest honor.
Yes. Yeah, that's crazy.
So Jeter gets announced last. Okay, I get that. He's El Capitan. Mariano Rivera second to last. Again, totally get it. Greatest closer of all time. There were six guys announced after Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah.
He was given the who gives a crap treatment.
It wasn't who gives a crap, but even when Kay is announcing him, you're getting, like, of all the memorable home runs, an ALDS homer from the 09 season. I mean, you know, A-Rod had a couple big moments in that World Series,
yeah,
I think.
They don't win without him.
Carried the team there. I'm with you.
Hold on, let me make this clear. Yeah. You're saying Kay no-sold A-Rod in the resume reading?
Kay said it very emphatically. I'm not blaming Michael Kay. I don't know if he writes the script or somebody hands him a script.
That's fine, but you don't like the script.
I didn't like the script.
Interesting.
I thought there were bigger moments in 09 than, like, he hit the game-tying homer in game three of the AL. Listen, they would beat the crap out of the Twins. I don't need that moment announced. There were bigger moments was my point.
Mm.
That's all. I thought it was a little bit of a
undersell. That's fine. I didn't pick up on that.
I'm not blaming Kay either. I'm blaming the Yankees. I think they purposely did that.
I don't know. All I know is that Matsui, Sabathia, Posada, Pettit, Rivera, and Jeter all announced after Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a
He was given what we like to call in the wrestling business mid-card treatment.
Yeah.
He was treated like a mid-carder.
Treat him like a mid-carder. Meanwhile, he's actually picking the Yankees to go to the World Series, unlike Derek Jeter's picking the Orioles.
Stop it. Come on. Jeter's being an independent analyst.
I know.
I respect that.
I love it. A-Rod gives me the Strahan vibes with the Giants. He's always picking them.
So the other thing was no Brett Gardner, because Brett Gardner hates the Yankees. That's apparently what I've learned from this.
Not for nothing, too. Enough with celebrating Brett Gardner and acting like he has some kind of stance. He has come across this weekend like the biggest whiny bitch in Yankee history. I'm serious. I've had it with Brett Gardner. Oh, boo-hoo. I didn't get to have a farewell like everybody else. Bro, get lost. Honestly. You weren't even a starter in 09 until Melky Cabrera got hurt. You're the most overrated homegrown Yankee of all time. If you actually knew how to use your speed and skill set, then we never overpay for Jacoby Ellsbury. I get it. Heartbeat, leader, all of that. What a whiny bitch. Show up with your teammates. I'm sorry.
South Carolina, I'm not leaving. The Yankees treated me wrong.
Ugh.
I didn't see that coming.
I'm just tired of it. Everybody else, Tomaso Marte can go there, tip his cap. Brett Gardner's got to stay riding trailers because he's so upset at the Yankees.
I think that sometimes it takes you a while to get over stuff. You know, it's been 3 years, I think about 2.5 years, if we're being exact, since the Yankees dumped him. He sort of dumped himself because he had a player option.
You're not Lou Gehrig. You're Brett Gardner. You were the 10th man on the 09 World Series team, and I know that you had great moments. Everybody loved when you slammed the bat on the dugout throughout his career. A one-time All-Star. Brett Gardner, for some reason in his head, thinks he's Mickey Mantle. He's not Mickey Mantle. Show up with your teammates and go out there. And I know he wasn't the only one that didn't show up, but I'm not over what's going on. CeCe Sabathia in the booth. I hope that Brett can, you know, fix his strained relationship with the Yankees. What? What are we doing here with this guy? Enough!
I think you just have to give him more time.
Him more time.
He's trying to get
all
over
right,
it.
Well, check back with you for the 25-year anniversary, Brett. What does he want, a freaking monument, too? Get lost. The most overrated slap hitter in Yankee history. And the guy wants to basically be treated like Jeter. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. I mean, the last 2 years, and I give Craig credit for this, since you took a shot at him earlier, which I thought was uncalled for.
Oh, stop it.
Craig always used to say Brett Gardner's treated like the coach's kid because Boone would always, especially that last year when he hit 222, they were running him out there every single day and he wasn't very good.
He has gotten more chances to prove his worth in New York than Daniel Jones has, okay? That's how the end of Brett Gardner's career went on forever.
He's a good Yankee, though. Can you give him a little bit of credit? He's a good, solid Yankee. Spent 14 years with the team.
And I would argue that the only reason he spent 14 years is because he was homegrown.
No, I think it's because he was a nice piece. He was great defensively in left field. He was great defensively in center field. He could steal a base. He had a little bit of pop, especially late in his career.
That's the problem. He couldn't steal a base.
No, he was
a terrible base runner for a guy that's fast.
Okay, that's different. If your argument against him is he had untapped potential as a base stealer, I agree with you. But the guy led the league once in stolen bases. You can't say he didn't steal bases.
But the point, he was not a great base runner. Okay,
he stole 275 bases in his career. How many Yankees have stolen more bases than Brett Gardner?
You want me to bend the knee because I'm on a Brett
Gardner
rant? I'm
not asking you to bend the knee. I'm just being fair.
My point is, you don't have to dislike Brett Gardner, but you can look at Brett Gardner and get back with reality. I don't care how angry you are. Get back there and celebrate
the
09.
Was the excuse for Robbie Cano that he's playing in the Mexican League? I know he had a game that day
or
something.
I'm sure it was, and I missed an excuse for Mark Teixeira because he's another one should have been there.
Yeah, where the hell was Teixeira?
I don't know.
Does he have an excuse?
I didn't hear, but that's just the thing. I didn't hear excuses for those. But I heard more than enough where basically, I hope Brett can fix his relationship. What, because you don't want to retire? You're supposed to buy you 53 years old? Dude, I mean, get lost.
Yeah, what happened to Mark? Was Mark Teixeira not there?
He was not.
You're right. It's just, I didn't even realize it until you said it.
No,
Nick Swisher was there. You would have booed him if you were in the building.
Yeah, he came out like a true hero, too. I mean, he looked like John Glenn when he landed on the moon waving at the crowd.
Now, we had a caller earlier mention that Johnny Damon may have had some fun before he showed up. So what they do now instead of a game, and I don't think it's bad by any stretch, but it's not quite a game, is they have this Q&A on the field.
Yeah.
So the 09 team is basically interviewed by Susan Waldman.
And Girardi.
And Joe Girardi. And so it's cool, but it's not the game. I do miss the game.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this on Friday. You probably didn't hear it. You're on vacation. Should not listen to the radio station.
Yeah, I was at Legoland.
Nice. So maybe they should have a theme for Old Timers Day. So I thought, how about a 2009 World Series rematch? Bring back Pedro Martinez. Bring back Chase Utley.
I'd love it.
Bring back Jimmy Rollins. Let's have a game. An 0-1 rematch when we have the anniversary of the Diamondbacks. Luis Gonzalez, bring him his skinny ass back, you know. By the way, Luis Gonzalez, I kept thinking of last. Did you watch the Maddox documentary on MLB Network?
I have not watched the Maddox documentary.
I'm going to get into that a little bit later on, but it was fantastic.
I'm very behind on docs.
Yeah, you got a lot of docs to watch.
Just did the McNair one I want to watch on Netflix.
Yes, I got to get to that one too.
Yeah.
That's a big doc. Yes.
Maddox.
What?
The Maddox doc.
He just said that. You know, if it was the morning show, you would have paid attention, Pat. That's how the whole conversation started.
Rosenberg's taking a call.
If you're unsure, don't turn on
the mic.
Give
me a breakfast ball on this one.
Boyle, are you trying to tell me there's a documentary about Greg Maddox?
Yeah, you should watch it.
What's it on?
HBO?
No.
Netflix?
MLB Network.
He really didn't listen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's why.
By the way, how are you to tell us we got to watch that? You didn't even know what it was on, so you didn't watch it.
Just Google it and find out what it's on in like 5 seconds. You can't crush me for not knowing what it's on.
Oh. In fairness, the way people watch documentaries now is a little clip will be placed on social media.
Yeah.
They'll see the little clip and say, oh, wow, did you see the Greg Maddox documentary? There's a little clip going around that Leo Mazzoni went out by orders of Bobby Cox and told Greg Maddox, you're going to intentionally walk Luis Gonzalez.
Oh, God.
And Greg Maddox said, no. He said, that is not happening, and said, Leo, I need 2 pitches. I'm going to throw one low and away, and then the second one's going to be a cutter inside, and he's going to pop up to Chipper Jones at third base. And Leo's like, okay. Goes back to the dugout, tells Bobby Cox. Bobby's not happy.
I'm curious.
Like, are you freaking kidding me? First pitch, low and away. Second pitch, he got Gonzalez.
He popped up. That's pretty good.
And Chipper Jones is like, what the hell just happened?
That's funny.
Yeah, so if you saw that clip, you probably are telling your friends, go watch the Maddox documentary, even if you've never watched the documentary.
Unreal.
Because you saw a clip.
Unreal.
Anyhow, my point was maybe you have themes with Old Timers Day to make the games more interesting.
I'd love that. You cannot do the 0-1 one, though.
Yeah, why? Because you lost?
Because if you win the Old Timers game, it's a mockery that, oh, now you won. You could win the
World Series.
It's
so interesting you say that, because I brought this idea up on Friday to Ian O'Connor, who was guest hosting. And Ian said, I like your idea, but wouldn't it be better if it's a rematch of a game you lost, thinking it's your chance at revenge?
No, that's pathetic.
You're saying that makes it worse.
That's embarrassing. I would be embarrassed for the 2001 Yankees if they went out there at 50, 60 years old and beat those Diamondbacks now.
So the only rematches you'd be good with
Randy Johnson throwing 40 miles an hour, it's going to feel the same. Please.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to feel better, but so the only rematches you think would make sense are rematches of series the Yankees won.
Right, because if you lose the Old Timers game, who cares?
You don't care.
And if you win, the party continues.
Just imagine Yankee fans who had tickets to the game but didn't go in for Old Timers Day, because it's like half of you guys. I mean, think about it. They announced 40,000 people. There was nobody there.
I don't understand why that's the game you pick if you're not in there for it.
If I told you, the answer to that is I think it's treated like any other game. Like people buy tickets to a Saturday afternoon, not necessarily that it's Old Timers Day. But if I told you it's going to be the 09 Phillies against the 09 Yankees, Pedro Martinez is going to take the mound against Jorge Posada.
I love it.
You're not saying, hold on, I need to be in my seat for this.
Definitely. I would be, but I don't think that draws the amount of people out as you think.
You don't think so?
No, I wish it did. I like the game.
You know what scares me about my idea? As much as I love it in theory, I don't know if the players would be willing to do it.
Well, that's the other thing.
Because they feel like so much is on the line. And just to show you a reversal of your kind of thoughts towards mine, I have suggested this many times, and I wouldn't even do it on an Old Timers Day. I would have a set-alone event, maybe in Central Park. I think there should be a rematch of 2000. I'd have Todd Zeal suit
up. That'd be great.
I'd have Eduardo Alfonso suit up, Piazza, the whole crew, your guys suit up, and let's have a game.
I think that'd be cool.
And obviously, I'm not going to, if the Mets win, say, oh, gee, we got revenge. I'm not an idiot. Obviously, it's not revenge. It'd be more fun. It'd be more, hey, this would be cool.
Good reminiscing. I'd be into it. The other thing about some of these Yankee players, I heard O'Neill on the broadcast talking about, like, oh, last time he played an Old Timers Day, you know, he hurt his knuckle because Rivera threw too close. Guys, I mean, like you mentioned, DiMaggio, Mantle. How many times growing up did Mickey Rivers go out there and make a play in the outfield? I got to lose a little respect for my 90s and 2000 Yankees here. Go out there and play 3 innings. And who cares? Softball style. Are we really that worried about getting hurt?
Apparently.
I mean, how soft?
I don't think it's hurt. I think it's secretly not playing well. I think when you're a great athlete.
But all the Yankee legends forever played. Who cares?
I don't know. Maybe it's different now. I think that people don't want to perform when they're not the same. You know, some athletes are like that, where they know they're not the same. Like, Paul O'Neill reeks of a guy like that. He's such a great competitor. Would Paul O'Neill want to strike out on 3 pitches to Armando Benitez in a rematch now?
But who cares? cares?
I don't know. They're competitors.
Well, you laugh after you strike out. We're not mad at you. All they want to do is laugh in the dugout now. Laugh then.
They're different.
Stop it.
Let's hear from our pal Ozzy in Woodbridge. What's up, Ozzy?
Fitting segue, I'm the first caller after Sean screams out about 5 minutes ago, whiny bitch.
Well, if the shoe fits, Oz, the shoe fits.
Welcome back, buddy.
Good to see you, Oz. What's up?
Hey, man, I'm 6 years running at Lake George, and I will never step foot on the Minnehaha.
Wow, $2 a box of popcorn. It was a great ride, Ozzy. You missed out.
All right, saw the picture. Very cute, very sexy, very manly, leaning over the thing with a Michelob Ultra. Good for you, bro.
Wow, I got to check out these pictures now, too. I want to see sexy Sean. Hold on. Wow, look at that.
You got anything else
you're looking it up? While you're looking it up, the problem with Old Timers Day is it's more watered down a la Monument Park. That's the problem
Is it really watered down, though? I mean, think about it. Like, all those guys from the late 90s teams, or at least most of those guys from the late 90s teams, are showing up. You have the greatest dynasty in the modern Yankee era that are able to show up. So I don't think it's watered down. I think to you, and maybe even to me because of our age, it feels watered down. But if you think about the laundry list of guys that were there, I don't think it's worse than the way it used to be. Oh, crap. Sid died. Sid Vicious. The great Sid Justice. Sid Vicious. Passed away.
May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. He was great. Main event to 2 WrestleManias. Wow. Anyhow, what's your point, Ozzy?
Now they're making a push again for A-Rod and Monument Park because he showed up again. So they want to juice that up like they did when they put Pettit in there. So water down or juiced up? They don't know what's up or what's down. Nice. I learned today what a breakfast ball is. You know, that's the initial mulligan, and no one has had more mulligans than Craig Carton.
At my guy, all right? Oh. Enough. Move on.
Go.
Listen, he's had more lives than a cat.
Now I'm letting you go, Ozzy.
Jeez.
And now he's Mr. Irrelevant.
All right, I gave you another shot. Don't be attacking my guy. I'm in a good mood today.
I would have hung up on him after the shot at the Minnehaha.
I didn't understand that one.
The Minnehaha is a classic steamboat in Lake George that, like, goes around, passes all the resorts, and plays this fancy old-timey music, and you could ride it for a price, and they serve beer and popcorn and stuff, and the kids love it. It's a very kid-friendly
thing. Minnehaha.
Called the Minnehaha. It's full of small laughs.
You know what I kept thinking about? Because I'm reading the Aaron Rodgers book, or listening to the Aaron Rodgers book. I thought of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. That's what went through my mind when you said Minnehaha.
Yeah. So perhaps he was named after the boat.
Zach is in Paramus. What's up, Zach?
What's going on, guys? Love the show, man.
Appreciate it. What's on your mind?
So, Ev, remember last year you just threw out there about the Tampa Rays? Maybe you didn't accuse them, but just speculated that they might be cheating.
I asked questions about the Tampa Bay Rays, and coincidentally, as soon as those questions were raised, the Tampa Bay Rays started to be an average team, and they've remained average for well over a year. Yes, I recall that.
So I'm somewhat going to do the same exact thing here.
Go ahead.
So you were talking about the Bobby Witt thing versus Aaron Judge Triple Crown.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever took a look at the split between home and away for Bobby Witt?
No, but I'm about to. You have me intrigued.
I just want your opinion on that. It's .392 average at home, .299 away. Ooh. Right there is 100 points.
Yeah.
And then the OPS is 1.148 home. Away is .855.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at
okay, so I want to answer that question. I'm looking at it right now, and I will tell you that if you did this with a lot of great players, you would find massive home road splits. That is not an uncommon thing, but we do that sometimes to pick on the athlete that plays in a home ballpark that's beneficial to them. So like when Nolan Arenado was a trade rumor,
right,
and obviously eventually got traded to St. Louis, his home road splits were also really, really large, and we held it against him. You know who also had some pretty large home road splits? He was also available right around the same time. That's why I bring him up. A fellow we've talked a little bit about over the last couple of years. A fellow we may talk a little bit about today.
Francisco Lindor.
Francisco Lindor also had that for a given season, not necessarily his entire career. I think that a lot of great players have that. What's the reason for it? Maybe it's a comfort level, maybe. Maybe it is they're getting a signs level. I'm sure that could have been happening in years past. But I also think nowadays with PitchCom, it's tougher to steal those signs. So true. I would need more evidence against Bobby Witt Jr. other than just citing home road splits, because a lot of players have those exaggerated home road splits.
But weren't you using those numbers with the Rays?
Nope. Never did that. Not true.
Man, you really moved the goalposts.
I never moved the goalposts. You guys did. Whoever in the media covered what I said, it got twisted. It's not my fault.
But this guy has a good point. Look, speculation, I'm down with
it. I didn't say he didn't have a good point. I don't like you telling me what I said a year ago.
Okay.
All right, why don't you go listen to the clip again?
I never
brought up home road splits.
I don't have the time nor the patience to do that.
Okay, then don't make accusations against me.
I just wanted to hear you out.
It's lazy.
So what did you say?
All I said is, isn't it weird? And I asked questions.
So isn't Bobby Witt weird and he's asking questions?
Okay, he asked a question. I gave an answer.
So if somebody gave you a good Rays answer, you would have backed
down? By the way, the Rays answer was they all sucked. They weren't any good, which I was right about. They ended up being incredibly mediocre. They flew down to Earth right after that. Now they're spread out around the American League and the National League now. Guys are on different teams.
Right.
And the Rays are a 500 team.
You made them so upset, they made T-shirts, too.
You remember that?
It's like breaking up with a 13-year-old girl.
Boy, yeah. We just said that 2 minutes ago.
They made T-shirts about it. You know how I responded to that? I made T-shirts of them making T-shirts. You want me to wear that tomorrow to work?
Oh, it's a lot of T-shirts.
I have a T-shirt that I created because I said, oh, okay, you guys want to make T-shirts? Fine, I'll make T-shirts. I made a T-shirt of Luke Rally wearing a T-shirt.
Really?
He was one of those crybabies. Yeah. One of the Ray crybabies. So I made a T-shirt of Luke Rally wearing a T-shirt.
It's like Inception with shirts.
Yes.
Great.
You like that?
Great.
I didn't accuse them of cheating. I asked questions. But look, here's the great news for our last caller about Bobby Witt Jr. and the year he's having. It doesn't matter. I mean, other than the series you're about to play against them in a couple of weeks.
At home, by the way.
At home, so I guess he'll struggle. It doesn't matter. Judge is going to win the MVP. I think what rankles a lot of Yankee fans, and I actually had this discussion recently with a friend, was Jose Altuve stole, quote-unquote, an MVP from Aaron Judge. Stole based on most people believing Judge had better stats, and stole based on the cheating scandal that eventually came out. Bobby Witt Jr. is having a remarkable season. He's not stealing anything from Aaron Judge, because I can promise you this.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge is going to win the American League MVP.
Yeah, even though I still think the Yankees would be okay without Aaron Judge and Royals would be lost without Witt.
By the way, that's a fine argument. And you can make it, and I'm sure a lot of people are, if they talk about the Kansas City Royals anywhere but here, because I don't know who talks about it. No one nationally talks about it.
They don't even talk about it in Kansas City because the Chiefs exist.
Yeah, they're breaking down who Patrick Mahomes is voting for in the election.
They just signed Juju Smith-Schuster.
That's doing
4 hours on that today, not Bobby Witt.
That's right.
Wait a minute, Sean. You think the Yankees would be fine without Judge?
I didn't say fine. They'd be okay. They would not be the best record in the American League.
Did you not see what happened last year? The guy stubbed his toe on a slab and they went into the crapper.
Hear me out. They didn't have Juan Soto last year. I'm not telling you that the Orioles would have run away with the division. The Yankees would be in a wild card hunt if Aaron Judge was out for a year.
Can I end this argument in a fair way?
Yeah.
The New York Yankees are 77-54, okay? They currently have the best record in the American League. Very quickly, if Aaron Judge didn't exist, if you had an average player instead of Aaron Judge, what would their record be? Want to say 15 games worse?
I would say they'd be 5 games over .500.
Okay. By the way, fine answer. 5 games above .500.
Okay. I'd have to do the math, but I'm not going to do the math. I'll settle for that. My point is,
I'm going to help your point.
Okay.
Just have patience. I'm actually going to help you here.
Okay.
All right, so the Yankees are 5 games above .500, if that's what you guys want to settle on. The Kansas City Royals currently are actually 4.5 games behind the Yankees, which is not that much when you think about it. They're 72-58. Okay? Yeah, they've been great. 72-58. If you took Bobby Witt Jr. away from the Kansas City Royals and you replaced him with, let's say, an average player, maybe a little bit below average, let's just say Anthony Volpe.
Yeah, right? I knew you were going there. I want to punch you right in the face.
What would the Royals' record be? And that's the only point he's making. They would be far worse. That's all he's saying.
Yeah.
It's not a knock on Aaron Judge. It's more a knock on the rest of the Royal roster.
But I disagree. The Royals' roster's not bad.
They don't have... Like, who's their second best offensive player after Bobby Witt Jr.?
You're going to be fat-ass Salvador Perez.
Salvador Perez. Vinny
Pasquantino.
Yeah, Vinny Pasquantino and his 770 OPS and his 18 home runs are nice, but it's a drop-off. That's all.
Here's the thing. They don't have a bunch of dead-outs like the Yankees. They have a more balanced lineup one star. Without Bobby Witt, they would probably only be a couple games worse.
I would say they've got three other guys that are solid. Salvi, Pasquantino, and...
Hunter Renfro?
No, because I don't even think he's that good. No, I think it's that literally that's it. I changed my mind.
MJ Melendez?
No. All those guys are below average players.
We counting Seth
Mikel Garcia? No.
Seth Lugo, maybe having a better year than Garrett Cole?
We're not talking about the pitching. We're talking about the lineups right now.
Boy.
Tries very hard. I appreciate that. So,
Rosie, you could have drove the Titanic.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I would have seen the iceberg, though.
So all Sean is saying is that because of the rest of the roster, Bobby Witt Jr. would have more value in... I don't even know how I would phrase it. I was going to say he has more value in wins, but isn't that what war is for, unless that's just wrong?
But what is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
But my point is, we saw what happened last year when Judge got hurt. The Yankees sucked, and this year he's even better than he was last year.
Oh, my God, Poyle, they don't have Juan Soto last year.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
It doesn't matter.
Freaking one of the best players in baseball, it does matter.
Okay, and without Soto getting on base... Okay, and if Soto continues to walk at 100, 125 times...
They also don't have Giancarlo Stanton.
Who's driving Juan Soto in?
Giancarlo, Austin Wells.
Yeah, if he's healthy.
It's a stupid argument anyway. Who cares? Judge is
getting
the
MVP.
No, you're
wrong. He's getting angry at you.
What do you mean I'm wrong? I'm right.
Tell me Bobby Witt's the MVP? What are you,
nuts? No, he didn't say that.
Yes, he is. He's saying at the crux of the argument, he's more valuable.
If you were to ask me who has a bigger drop-off, hence the word valuable, if they were removed from the team, the Royals pitted at one of the worst teams in baseball.
No, but let me help you out on this. Maybe I'm not helping you out on this, because usually my helping doesn't work. Saying a team is far worse by losing a player, to many, is the crux of the MVP argument. But it really isn't the end-all, be-all. I'll give you a specific example, staying in New York. Do we all mostly agree Shohei Ohtani is the MVP in the National League?
Yes.
Okay. Even the betting market agrees.
That's why he went to the National League.
But I think we'd all agree that if you took Ohtani away from the Dodgers, still a playoff team.
Yeah.
If you took Lindor away from the Mets, they're 25 games under 500.
Right, right. No, I could make the case he's more valuable to their success.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Lindor has more value to the Mets, but most of us aren't even yet suggesting he's the MVP of the league. So even if you bring more value to a specific team, it isn't the end-all be-all. Because at the end of the day, numbers matter.
Right.
And Aaron Judge has Bobby Witt Jr. beat. Right. And at the end of the day, Shohei Ohtani has Francisco Lindor beat. Despite that whole, hey, are they more valuable specifically to their team? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And if I had a vote, by the way, at this point, I would vote Judge. But I'm just saying, you know, value.
Would you? Because you sound like a turncoat loser.
I don't like your tone.
Aren't you guys partners on the weekend?
We are. BetQL's five-star weekend.
More than that.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, we
share breakfast bowls together.
Very nice. How we doing, everybody? It's a fine Monday here in New York City. Labor Day week. Who's ready for the summer to end? I am.
I hate it.
You really want more summer?
I wish we had. Now, I still consider September summer, but I wish we had more time.
Yeah, I'm good.
August also, too much fall weather. Last week,
I loved it, man.
That rainy week a couple weeks ago. Enough. Give me 90 in heat every day.
It looks like we are getting a few days of 90 this week, so it looks like we're going to get that last taste of summer, but I'm surprised you don't feel this way, and I'm not talking like a bad father. I think I'm a damn good father.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of over the kids not being in school. Like, that's been going on for a couple of months, and I think it's time to end.
Oh, I could separate those two things.
So can you?
I still want summer for me. I still want it hot enough on a Saturday morning to go to the beach. I still want, you know what I mean? I wish we had that till like mid-October at least.
Well, we sometimes do. It's not like the weather immediately flips once Labor Day is over. What I'm excited about is not only the sports schedule changing. I mean, these baseball games become even bigger and juicier and more important during the final stretch of the season, and you can kind of smell the playoffs and you can see the playoffs. Obviously, the NFL begins. You're on your way to hockey and basketball. But more than all of that, it's time for these kids to go back to school. Enough's enough.
It's time for these kids.
Yes.
It's time for these teachers to go back to school.
Why are you attacking teachers?
I'm not. It's just, this is that annual time, and I ran into one of these people in Lake George.
These people.
I'm a teacher. It's my last week off. Oh, really? It's your last week off? I'm sorry. What'd you do with the previous 19 weeks this summer?
You have to understand something.
My God.
I know that you look at it from afar and say, oh, teachers, they have so much vacation. But you realize the work that they put in.
Of course.
They deal with our kids.
They have to be babysitters and teach them.
Yes. And they're teaching.
Nobody's saying that.
Well, you kind of are implying.
No, hold on.
Their job is so damn important and so valuable that I'm good with them having a lot of time off.
I'm not under saying that. But what I will say is there's a difference between somebody who gets out of college, puts in that work and goes, oh my God, I can't get a job anywhere. Let me take a civil service test. Okay, I guess I'm working on the railroad. Then somebody that goes to school because they want to be a teacher, sometimes mm-hmm. a gym teacher, and go, well, look at that great schedule. You get the dream job, and then you complain about it. It's like anybody who works here that complains. What are you complaining about?
I don't like the way you casually attack teachers. It kind of bothers me.
Look, I will say this, and I'll say it to the end of time.
Yeah.
Nobody went for a job more and then complains about a job more that they have more freedom in than the world of teachers.
By the way, if you'd like to tweet hate tweets at Sean Morash, it's at Sean Morash.
Enjoy happy hour for the 14th straight day, teacher.
Let him know that you're not pleased with his lack of appreciation for teachers.
Yeah.
The thing about this time of year that I also really like and also really hate is what happened yesterday in San Diego. The New York Mets had a 2-0 lead late against the San Diego Padres. They lost with their best pitchers on the mound. That's a fact. Jose Buto gave up a 2-run home run to Jurickson Profar. Could Carlos Mendoza have gone to Edwin Diaz for a 5-out save? He could have. I wouldn't have been against it. But Jose Buto's been great this year, and he gave up a 2-run home run to Jurickson Profar. He goes to Edwin Diaz in a tie game in the bottom of the 9th inning, and after getting that first out, he gives up a game-running home run to Jackson Merrill. The New York Mets lost the game with their two best starting pitchers on the mound. They lost the game that they had in their hand up 2-0. They lost the game in which they had a few of those plays that makes you think, whoa, this game and this season is special, specifically the Jose Iglesias defensive play. And they had opportunities. I don't want to kill Francisco Lindor. I love the guy. Bases loaded, 2 outs, 4th inning, 1-0 game. Had a chance to break that game open, and he failed. But because of the time of year and because of the fact they lost this game against a good team they're trying to gain ground on, and they lost this game the way they did, I have declared I'm just one guy. I'm not the leader of Met fans. I'm just one of many. That was the worst loss of the season.
It's not the worst loss of the year. The worst loss of the year is when you have a 5-0 lead versus Oakland at home and you can't get it done. Look, yesterday's a bad loss, but for everything you just said, that's one of those where you tip your cap. You went out there with these
you
two best relievers.
You tip your cap?
You do. That's it. Sometimes in baseball, in a 162-game season, there's a tip your cap loss.
No.
You lost with your best on the mound. You still split a series versus a red-hot Padre team.
Oh, stop.
But what it does do, Evan, though, is it shifts now where, and the Braves lost yesterday, which, again, you know, you could look at it either way. It helps that they didn't lose ground by losing yesterday. You can't lose a game to the White Sox.
Well, no. I get that, and that's, of course, at the end of the week. Here's the reason why I get if you take every loss the Mets have had this year, just like if you take every Yankee loss, and you put it side by side, you can find other games that are worse in terms of who they lost to and in terms of how they blew a lead, of course.
They've had way worse losses.
Okay. Here's why, despite that, you're still wrong.
Okay.
The calendar is moving. The amount of games left in a season is moving. Yeah, a game in September, right or wrong, even though it counts the same, is going to feel worse than a loss in April. These games are dwindling. The Mets need to make up 3 games in the loss column against the Atlanta Braves. There's only 30 games left in the season.
No doubt.
Evan, you don't have all year to just dilly-dally and make up ground. That was a blown opportunity. And not only a blown opportunity on Atlanta, it was a blown opportunity on the San Diego Padres. If the Mets win that game, they're 3 games behind San Diego with the tiebreaker on possibly catching them.
And they would have caught 2 games on them in that series.
Right. Now they're 5 games out. Still with the tiebreaker, but 5 games behind San Diego. It's just simple math. The mathematics are more difficult now because of a loss like that. So don't tell me it's not the worst loss of the year when every stat will tell you it is.
It's a bad one, and you're right as far as time of the year and all that, but when all is said and done, the dust settles. If the Mets do not catch the Atlanta Braves, you will look back at perhaps those 3 games versus the Braves that might may or may not be very important, but you will look back at other moments when you do your Rico as the fireplaces play in September, and you and Hoff break down all the bad Met losses. I'm not sure this will even be in the top 5 as reasons why they didn't make the playoffs. It feels like that in the moment because of the timing. But you faced a red-hot team, you still split the series, and you went down with your two best relievers.
Loser mentality. Look, going into this series, I wanted to split from San Diego. I'd said that on the air. I said it on the Rico. I said that when I texted a buddy of mine who's actually from San Diego and is a Padre fan. I said, Brian, I just want to split. That's all I want. But when you win game one, excuse me, and you win game three,
yeah,
and you have a lead five outs away in game four, and you're about to take three out of four, expectations change. They just do. And now they walk into a tough spot. They have an off day today, but the Arizona Diamondbacks have won six in a row. They never lose. They may well win the National League West. I mean, they're still right there with the Los Angeles Dodgers, only three games back. And so this is going to be very, very tough.
You're not winning this series. You got to find a way to take one, but you're not winning this.
You know they're not winning the series?
I mean, it's baseball. You don't know. You assume they're going to win the series?
No, I don't, which is why yesterday's game was such a brutal loss. If you're going to tell me they got no chance to win this series, it's baseball, you never know, but it's very unlikely that they do. That just shows you that yesterday's loss was so brutal.
But what the Mets will have for them in September, they have an easier path than the Braves. The Braves have far more losable series.
Here's the problem with the Braves, okay? And I do not understand any Met fan that has not gotten through this, gotten this through their skull, all right? And this is what pissed me off so much about our boy Sal 2 years ago, okay, with the NL East is over. It had nothing to do with the Mets. It had nothing to do with a lack of faith in them. The Atlanta Braves are like this. They're like the Undertaker, all right? You have them buried. You think they're in trouble. Oh, they got so many injuries. They're done. Look at the way they responded this week. They won four out of six games against the Phillies and the Nationals. I know the Nationals suck and all that. They're still winning games. Their pitching has been outstanding. So you could take away whoever you want to take away. The Braves are still finding ways to win. They have seven games this week in Minnesota and in Philadelphia. I'll tell you right now, they're winning four out of seven.
The NL East is over.
Like, if you think, oh, the schedule is tougher, and you just cited it, watch what happens. I know these Atlanta Braves. You should know these Atlanta Braves. We all know these Atlanta Braves. And by the way, their September schedule, for the most part, is also very soft. They play Colorado. They play Toronto. They play Cincinnati. They play Washington. I mean, let's not act like they're going through a murderer's row here. They're going to win games, which makes the margin for error that much slimmer, especially going into a series that you just said they're not winning.
Who will feel the deadest on Thursday, September 26th? The Mets versus the Braves, the Yankees versus the Orioles, or the Giants versus the Cowboys? Because that's the trio of games we have.
Who's going to feel the deadest? That's a great question. The deadest team will be the Mets. The second deadest team will be the Giants. And the Yankees are not going to be dead. How are the Yankees going to be dead? They're in the playoffs with, you know, by accident.
Are they dead in terms of the division?
Oh, in terms of the division? No, I'd still have the same order. And I know I'm not saying that negatively, fellow Met fans. Like, this team has earned a lot of our trust, but not fully. Like, they've earned a lot of it. Like, they're not literally going to wilt away. I think they've earned that. But when they need that big, big, big win, their offense disappears. Their offense plays peekaboo sometimes, man. It's there, and then it's like, where'd it go? I can't find it. And they do that sometimes throughout games.
People still playing peekaboo?
Oh, yeah, with a baby. You haven't had a baby in a while. Your girls are grown up.
I don't think I did the peekaboo with my baby.
You didn't do a peekaboo?
I don't think I did peekaboo.
Well, then you weren't a great father.
And matches.
I mean, don't you have to do a peekaboo? I can't see you.
Peekaboo was a banger with babies. Not anymore.
I think you could actually play peekaboo until four. Like, I think when a kid is still one, two, three, even 4 years old, they still get a kick out of it. Yeah.
I'm a baby.
I'm going to try it tonight when I get home. My kid is almost four. He's three, Spence. Had a great time at the Jet game. Was screaming touchdown Jets. I wanted to send a video to Sean to mock him. You, not my son.
Right, another Jet fan that cares way too much about the preseason.
And then I realized it's the preseason. I was like, I can't do that. I think I may send you the video every time the Jets score a touchdown, and I know it bothers you throughout the season.
Me. Remember, I picked them to win 16 games.
Yeah, but you're still secretly rooting against them.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I am going to be the biggest Jet fan on the show this year.
Yeah, you're full crap.
Okay, you wait and see.
Okay.
Just remember, Jet fans, I believe in you even when you don't.
Yeah, he's pulling our leg. Let's hear from a teacher. I wonder if a teacher hates Sean.
Oh, by the way, they're available.
Mark is in Yorktown Heights. Mark, I appreciate you, what you do as a teacher. I very much appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Evan. I appreciate your comments. Sean, I'm not furious with you. I just want to point out, I probably worked more than you this summer running a camp. You guys at WFN are off all the time. No offense. All right? Off every other week.
Mark, Sal and Fran Tierney.
I love all you guys. I'm not mad.
Mark, you're right. Guess what? I'm not complaining about my job or time off. Teachers complain. You may not. I know plenty of teachers complain nonstop about their jobs.
Oh, I agree. There's some that complain. But a lot of us do work, Sean. All right? And I ran a camp. I love it. Yeah, you know, but it is part of our life, too. Yeah. All right?
Good Mark, I apologize that Sean has to be such a brat. I will defend everybody around here. I have never heard, you know, maybe Mike did back in the day. I'm not sure as much. I don't think any of us complain about this job. I think we all realize how awesome this job is.
Of course.
You know, it is talking on the radio about something that we all love. And yeah. So even though, yes, we may abuse our vacation time come summer, not me. I'm here today. Grr.
See you Wednesday?
Or All-Star Week?
Yeah.
Or July 4th week?
Right.
But we also know this is the greatest job in the world. But it's not as important as teachers. I can't tell you how much I respect and appreciate teachers.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that you don't.
A lot of good teachers did me.
Well, so because you had crappy teachers, that means they all suck?
Say that again?
Can we get past the Revolutionary War in history? Every year we start at the same thing. Then they're too busy at happy hour. They forget Monday. We got to get to new stuff here.
To be fair, it's not them. It's the curriculum that's the telling curriculum. Them what to teach.
If it wasn't for CNN, I would have never learned about JFK. I mean, jeez.
You also went to community college. You're holding a lot of teachers at fault here.
Again, I didn't want to shower with other men at a big college.
That's why you didn't go to a big college?
Yeah.
Stop.
Didn't go to a university because you didn't want to shower with other men?
I didn't want to share showers and go do communal showers going away to school.
I didn't want to either, but, I mean, wouldn't you rather do that?
No.
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 It's a rite of passage.
I know. And by the way, if I didn't commute, I never had this job here.
Okay. Well, let's go to Cole in West Islip. What's up, Cole?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking a call. Sean? Was driving down the road, just minding my own business, heard the rage on teachers, and it just set me off. Because I got, last minute, the most ridiculous, ridiculous back-to-school list of 25 items I've ever seen for a four-and-a-half-year-old in pre-K of all things. And I would love to hear what your comments are. I think both of you guys have kids relatively close to age.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah, and like, can I read you some of these things?
Yes, please. Some
of this, I think it's ridiculous. I would love to hear your comments on this.
Go ahead.
It's 25. I won't hit it all.
Yeah.
So he's 4 inches tall, but a full-size backpack.
Okay.
We water bottle, three-ring binder, plastic crayon box, Crayola crayons, Crayola markers, child scissors, black Sharpie markers, 4 4-ounce Play-Dohs, fair, 2 bottles of Elmer's white glue. Hey, this is the best one. 20 Elmer's glue sticks.
Oh.
A small pack of highlighters, a small Ticonderoga, specifically Ticonderoga pencils, 4 tennis balls. They come in tops of 3. But
the tennis balls? What, for the bottom of the desk?
That's itemized bottom of chair. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
Right,
and Cole, by us, Staples clothes. Where do we even get all this?
Sorry, Cole. Yeah, it's that time of year. But just think, once you make all those purchases, we get a little freedom in the middle of the day.
Yeah. 8 Elmer's glue sticks. What are they going to do with that?
Can't the school supply anything? Like, why do we have to supply everything?
No. I'm sure we'll get a call from teachers. I used to pay out of pocket for all my construction paper. I had to get off the lifeguard stand to do it.
Well, first of all, that's wrong. The teacher shouldn't have to pay for it.
I know. That was an unfair shot.
We should pay. We're taxpayers. It's our money paying for everything, isn't it?
Of course.
At least I thought it was.
Of course.
We'll get back to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. Plus, we play an updated version of a game Sean and I played about 2 weeks ago. An update on who he would start in Yankee postseason games. Because I have a feeling his list has changed from 2 weeks ago. We'll get to that. Plus, are we going to fight over Mike White?
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.